This is Talking Heads, and now on the programme we're continuing our coverage brought to you by PDMS in the run-up to September's general election. We're joined in the studio by another candidate who's making a bid for one of the two seats in the House of Keys for the constituency of Douglas East, Paul Moulton. Good afternoon, Paul. Welcome to Talking Heads.
Thank you, Stuart. It's one in, one out, isn't it? It's a busy old time.
It is getting fairly busy now,
Now we are six.
Yes. Now, you're six in Douglas East.
Yeah.
Well, that's my constituency as well, so...
Oh, right, just on my form.
Yeah, so... I'm very interested in Douglas East. I ought to declare right up front that Paul and I have known each other for probably a dozen years or so. So it's going to be difficult to interview you with a straight face.
Oh, I don't know. We've sat there with a drink every now and again, bemoaning everything. And do you know what? That's probably why I'm stepping up to the plate. And I know you've talked about in the past is that if you don't give it a go, you'll never know. And I honestly. People think I'm crazy because I've had, one of the best jobs in the Isle of Man working for Granada. I mean, doing telly and all that is a fantastic thing. But it just kept going on and through my mind. And dealing with the politicians all the time, like you do, sometimes you just think, gosh, they could have done that a bit differently or whatever. But I wouldn't knock it at all. I still think what we're not saying enough of is what we have here. The Isle of Man is the most fantastic place to be. Yeah. Would you live anywhere else?
No, absolutely
exactly.
not.
So when you hear constant knocking, I think that just sends... really that everyone into some sort of depression.
Isn't that a Manx thing, though, the Manx-Crab syndrome?
It is. But we've got to remember what we've got that makes this place so special.
And aren't you getting that on the door? Is that Paul Moulton? Who does he think he is, standing for the House of Keys?
Funny enough, I've had more like, would you come in for a cup of tea and a biscuit? I've had a fantastic time. It's hard, though, Stu, you know, like when you're behind a microphone or whatever, but when you actually go to get on the streets and meet people, and then you realise the breadth and depth of the public that you've got to deal with. Obviously, everyone's got their own views, and you can't ever get all the votes. But I think I've done a pretty interesting sort of way that I'm getting on with people, and they're listening to me, and they're taking my fact sheet, which I've got. You know, just I mean, I'm running very late. I mean, I'm not as late as everyone, but it's pretty late. So I'm coming at it fast and furious. So I'm trying to get around most of Douglas. Douglas East, which is not going to be possibly in the time frame I've got, but, you know, we'll do our best.
I heard you talking to James on Mandate, and I think because you're a media lover, you're going to be using a lot of the social media and things like that, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give it a go.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of voters are maybe the ones that don't really engage with that sort of thing. But the video, even the one from Mandate the other day, I think it's about 70-odd views in a day, which is higher than a lot of the other ones.
Yes.
Have been there for months.
Yeah.
And I think people... they always watched my stuff for Granada, which we put on Manx Tube. I mean, that was getting just in general about 4,500 hits a day.
Yes.
And any item that was on there for over a week would get 1,000 views. You know, so I kind of indicated on there that I'm doing this as well, which is a shame that we can't do the videos anymore. But I can't do everything.
So, I mean, your background is media and that kind of thing, really. You've worked for Granada most recently, the BBC before that, Energy FM. You worked for Manx Radio for donkey's years.
I was the tea boy.
Yeah.
At 14 and a half.
Yeah.
I came up here and waited outside because I was too early for my interview to do my O-level project, so I just got wet outside before. And it was only bottom floor was not even used. It was just a very... this was a boardroom, I think.
So you're used to talking to politicians, but is that enough in terms of wanting to be one?
And if I said yes, that would be the right answer. If I said no, then be a quiz. Because, you know, back to that thing about all the time we talk to politicians, I think half the problem has been they don't get the message out properly. And you can name quite a few things where you know, and I've been trying to get information, but it just hasn't been available yet, magically. There's a press briefing just before the event to the MHKs, whatever, and they in the know. Yeah. We're still not in the know until vote goes through, but the vote sails through, because they know then exactly what is going on. Things like that. I mean, I'm a stickler for presentation, and I've always, when I've done my stuff with TV, I've always asked the guys, can you not put a logo at the back, show your government rather than just...
Just a bloke in a field.
A coffee machine
behind.
And this is the top people in the Isle of Man government.
Yeah.
This is being screened across the northwest. It's a lot of it is down to I was going to use that Hogwarts spin doctor as, you know, but there is a certain amount.
I can see you as the Mandelson of the new generation of politicians. If you're not careful, you could become the Minister of Information or something like that.
I think that would be one of my better places that I could stand in front of the camera.
Well, you thought that, really, isn't it?
It is pretty horrible. But look how things with the VAT. That last hit, it came out in drips and drabs, and it softened everyone up for it, didn't it?
Yes, it was. We were softened up for it, definitely.
That was definitely the way of doing modern government, is to throw something out there, wait for the reactions, then you can either deny it, or you can then proceed with it.
Yeah, wait for the ripples to reach the edge and then come out officially and say,
When it went through that day, it almost went through as, that was going to happen.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between the first batch, which was like, oh my goodness, this is going to happen tomorrow.
But isn't that just politics? I mean, one thing that I've realised the older I get, Paul, is that you look at things sometimes as a journalist or a presenter and you think, it's so easy to solve that. I could solve that in one decision. And actually, when you talk to people, you realise that there's an awful lot more involved. Oh. Alex and I were laughing and joking a few mornings on the trot about the road gangs, the Department of Transport road gangs. And one of the guys got in touch and he said, you don't realise what's involved in this. And we said, it's just laying road. Well, come out with us. And we both went out with them and saw what they have to face, what they have to do, and it just gives you a whole different perspective. And I just wonder whether or not we only see the externalised bits of government, don't we? We don't know what goes on in the committee rooms and within the corridors of power. And I just wonder whether or not we end up with a bit of a jaundiced view of it that's not really valid.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, these guys who are doing the jobs they're doing, they're not doing it to make a mess of it or to make everything difficult. They're doing their best. Okay, it's the analogy, it's like swimming in glue or treacle, which is, I can well believe that, because everyone's got their own way of doing things, there's going to be a slowness to it, but what you have to do, you have to be in it to win it in that sense. I mean, you can stand at the sidelines, and I have for all these years, and all I'm saying is I want to give this a go, and I'm passionate about this. Anyone that knows me, I don't do things by halves. To do this, I think I can make a difference, and that sounds cliche and cheesy. But how else can I say it?
It is difficult as a candidate, certainly, to not sound cliched and cheesy. And everybody's saying, well, I want to do my bit. I want to put something back. And we've heard that so many times now. And I just wonder how well prepared some of the people are that we've been talking to do that.
Well, this is how I'm sitting here this very minute. There was a person on your show I was listening to. This is where it was, honestly. And they didn't seem to really quite grasp what they were doing, I thought.
Yeah.
And I just, in that moment in time in the car, went, do you know what? I think I'm going to have to stand myself.
Yes.
And I put it on Facebook and people go, oh, yeah. And that was a few months ago. And then it's just one of these things that I've lost sleep over, because I keep thinking, well, have a go then, Mr. Bolton, because, you know, if you think you can do better, the only way you can do that is put yourself before the electorate and see what they say.
Yeah.
And if they say no, I'll go on holiday and I'll have a little cry and I'll think about it. But, you know, life goes on. But I'll never know if I don't do it.
I admire that very much indeed. I admire all the people who are standing, even the ones who don't seem particularly well suited to the job from the outside. I think it's great that people are prepared to stand up and have a go at things like this. I wonder about you, though, because you've spent most of your career as a fairly solitary person professionally and not a member of a big team, usually. I know that you've been out with film crews and things like that, but what we do tends to be, I've seen you out shooting stuff for the BBC and for Granada, where it's you on your own with a camera and a tripod doing it all.
Everything.
Whereas 10 years ago, you'd have had a sound man, you'd have had a director, you'd have had a guy on the lights, a guy on the camera. Nowadays, it's just do it all yourself. And I just wonder whether or not politics is prepared for that kind of approach.
My goodness, I wish I knew the answer to that one. I never saw that question coming. I don't know. I mean, do you know? I don't think.
I've thought about politics because a couple of people have said, why don't you stand?
Why don't you stand, Stu? You've still got until Tuesday to do it. I've
thought about it a couple of times, and I think that I wouldn't be particularly good at it, because I really would need to be a benevolent dictator. I'm not very good with committees. I find, committees and endless meetings and having to consult with people all the time, I just find it deadly boring.
And I've fallen out with committees I've been on, everything. The first thing that normally happens is you say, why are you doing it that way? And they'll go, because we've always done it that way.
Yes.
And my thing is, well, why? Is that? Yeah, exactly. Why?
Yeah.
And then we get into, I mean, you've always got the pain.
Yeah.
But
it's almost like, you know, as long as you're fairly switched on to what you're doing, as long as you're prepared to take advice from people, I think that the job of a politician probably, and you may disagree, is to make decisions. And I'd rather have a politician who makes a decision, might even get it wrong every now and then. And when you look at the record, you say, all right, he got it wrong on that, he got it wrong on that. But for the majority of decisions he made, they were the right ones. Almost better to make a mistake than not to make a decision and to prevaricate forever and to keep throwing things out for consultation. Keep looking for people to get in touch about things. You know, let's have some decision makers.
I'll take that and just quote that as mine, OK? Because I love that. You did very well. That was brilliant. No, it's as long as you can sleep at night, I think, on the decision you've made. And I think there are going to be some really stinky things to have to vote on. Because,
oh, yes.
But you know what? Again, everyone's on side. There's not been an election like this where people are actually all talking about cutbacks.
Yeah.
Before, it was all about... I used that analogy the other day about building a bridge or something, you know, because some people had wacky one-off things they were standing on.
Oh, the motorway to Anglesey and,
the one thing that they would make their thing. But, of course, they're one person out of 24. Once they get in, you never hear anything more about it half the time.
And wasn't immigration the big issue in 2006, I seem to remember?
Yeah, there was. And
I think there were a lot of concerns about that.
And we were kind of going into a bit of an overdrive, weren't we? Everything's getting a bit heated, the economy and that sort of thing. But, you know, there's still... jobs out there. What, 2% unemployment? You know, if you go for a coffee in most places, most people working there will be people who are on work permits. I went for one this morning. So there's still jobs going out there.
Yes.
I mean, at one stage, you could actually argue the unemployed were being employed.
Yes.
Because it was so tight, the market. But no one wants to see people on the dole. I mean, that obviously costs everyone money anyway. But there's natural wastage going on anyway.
Yeah.
The government is slimming down. I mean, have you read the scope from government report, which makes interesting reading? I mean, they haven't enacted anything about it yet, but they've done a report about how they need to readjust themselves.
Well, they did the infrastructure bit of it, but not the scope bit, didn't they?
That's right. It's increased over the years. And there was money in the pot.
Yes.
And to use that phrase I used the other day, we just didn't know we were having it so good. I mean, you don't, do you? I mean, you don't know you're on an upturn. You just think this is the life.
It must have been you then that said that, saw it on Monday.
Yes.
It's a shame that we didn't know we were having it so good at the time.
It's true, isn't it? If you knew it, you could sit back and go, wow, these are the good times.
Yes.
But you don't. You still think, I want a pay rise.
Well,
I want
the fact of the matter is that we were being told by politicians that, you know, well, we're all going to have to tighten our belt. I mean, we've been told that for 5 years. And these were in the good times. You've got to question that, really, haven't you?
But what's happening now? People aren't asking for the pay rise. They're not expecting it. People are being mature about how they're dealing with their lifestyles and their expenditure.
Yeah.
But I use the coffee shop thing there. You go downtown, they're still full. People aren't cutting back. They're not all sitting at home counting every penny.
I don't know, Paul. I've noticed this year that I always used to get to the end of the month with a few quid still left over, mad money, to buy silly things like cameras and whatever. And this year, that's not been the case. And, I mean, my pay's been pegged like everybody else's. I've not had a rise for a couple of years. But I think that the cost of living has gone up because fuel, energy prices, petrol and like all that has gone up. Food's got... pretty much everything has gone up. And it's gone up sort of fairly slowly so that we've not noticed it. But I got to the point where I was getting to the third week of the month and run out. That's why I've given up smoking. The third week of the month, skint. And buying cigarettes on a credit card a couple of times because I was so skint. And so I think that people are feeling the pinch, but are almost prepared for it. So it begs the question whether or not government have done it the right way around by softening us up for this and saying we're going to face tough times. When people do start to hit the rocks a wee bit, it's a case of, well, you know, it's happening to everybody and maybe it's, you know...
Yeah.
We're all sharing the pain.
But other times when there's been those sudden... recessions, people don't go out. You see the shops are empty and that's what they got. I was just trying to say that if you look downtown, people are still in there. There's still, and people can find that money to buy their latte or whatever.
Yeah.
But yes, as the month goes on, that's always happens to you. As the month goes on, if you own a news agency, you can do a graph as people don't buy less and less and less. They get payday on the 25th. Today's your day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Bang, up it goes again. People go on. People live their lives to whatever they've got coming in.
Yes.
And you've got the variables of inflation with petrol and everything else. But I mean, the government, they're pegging electricity for 2 years. Interesting, very interesting, because that gives stability to the manufacturing part of the Isle of Man, that they know that they're going to be protected on spikes in production costs. I thought that was quite clever.
You're quite different to an awful lot of the candidates that I've talked to in that you're not unduly critical of the current government. You think that they've done a reasonably good job, I think.
Yeah, because, I mean, hindsight, is, of course, is just wonderful. I mean, as I said, no one's gone in there to make some very strange decisions. I mean, you probably had a disunity because you've got the ones that do and then the ones that oppose.
Yeah.
And they're always going to be sort of at each other. And I think the next government, I would definitely work within it, absolutely, because I think it will be, it'll be like the war cabinet sort of feel to it. You know, it'll almost be an entrenchment of we've got to do this together. If we don't do this, we're going
to
make
and
a mess.
And wouldn't that be a marvellous thing to have? To have a national sense of identity and a national cohesiveness where everybody does feel that they're all playing for the same team, for Team Isle of Man, and that, you know, all right, we've got to share the pain a wee bit, but, you know, where we can actually get through this as a nation. We need that Dunkirk spirit almost, don't we, do you think?
But it's happening, though, isn't it? As I said earlier, I mean, almost everyone, I think everyone has said we're going to have cutbacks. Now, 5 years ago, you wouldn't have heard that ever being said. It'd be the opposite. It'd be like, right, build this, swimming pools, you know, jacuzzis, whatever you want, have it. That's the difference. And I think everyone is realising, quite rightly so, that things are being rebalanced. I mean, we had a very good deal, didn't we? And now it's not so much. But every person that comes over here to live and to work and then bring their kids over brings money into the economy. Every time you buy something in that shop, you're paying that VAT, which, you know, OK, the deal's changed, but that is still a tax that brings in money to the government, which is a nice, easy way to make money, admittedly. But, you know, we need people to make the property keep moving along. We just need Isle of Man PLC to keep focused on attracting people to this fantastic place. I would not live anywhere else. I moved here when I was 13 as a kid, and, you know, I go off on holidays, but it's that feeling when you get on that plane, when you land back at Ronsway, how do you feel? You feel great, don't you?
The weight lifts from my shoulders when I get back. I could do a Pope and kiss the tarmac at Ronsway.
If you could bottle that,
yes,
you'd have this place absolutely buzzing. I mean, it is buzzing. Don't get me wrong. As I said, it's more a case of keeping us on track. Okay, we've got to maybe get rid of the state-owned cinema, which I keep going about. But, you know, how far should the government be running various things is obviously questionable, and that is in hand. While we're sitting here today, all of government is still going on. It hasn't gone away. They are making their budgets, and the new MHKs will only go in there, and we'll eventually get the budget delivered and told this is it. So the very first one, we'll have pretty well no input, and you know how it works. You vote for the budget or against it. There's no pick that one and that. So they'll have to come up with something that is palatable. But also, now the elections are out of the way, they can get on with the job. Because obviously that has affected people's decision-making to some degree, that no one wanted to make the big ones before the 29th of September. Hey, that's life. I mean, everyone's looking for another gig, aren't they? I'm expecting to, if I get in, to contribute very greatly to how we can keep things on balance and still keep this place great.
Election 2011 coverage on Manx Radio, brought to you by PDMS.
You're listening to Talking Heads, and we're talking to Paul Moulton, who is standing for the constituency of Douglas East on September the 29th. So let's just look now at your actual policies, because we've talked in outline terms about the way that we see things, but what about your actual policies? Where do you differ from other people, do you think?
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. Someone asked me the other day, but your policies look like just general stuff. And I thought, well, yes, I suppose I haven't got that big sort of killer app in the thing. I mean, I suppose, looking down my list, one that you might be interested in, and the younger people definitely were, is about the roaming situation, you know, for phones and things like that. Now, when we go across, it's because, I mean, I hit massive amounts the other week, and they cut you off at £75. But it's very questionable, pardon me, that is a bit of a cash cow going on, in my view, that really, how much does a megabyte of data cost?
You're more of a gadget boy than me, so don't draw me into this, because okay. I've got a smartphone and I only use it for texts and phone calls.
Okay, but I mean, that's one of my unique ones that I'm trying to come up with, that we got to make sure that we don't get, this complacency with how...
So it's the Manx tax syndrome almost, isn't it? In that an awful lot of things in the Isle of Man have got this vague Manx tax component to them, where we pay more for things than you would expect to.
Yeah, and if you go to the UK now with an iPhone, and you within a couple of hours, you're told to turn it off from roaming, but why should you? If you're in the UK, you want to get your mail, Yeah. And I just think we've got to look... That's one of those ones that really got to be carefully looked at. Sea Terminal, I was talking about that the other day. That's great how it's now getting more private use, and picking up of people for the buses has got to happen. I mean, why are we not
using it? So would you turn it into a bus station?
No, it's not a bus station. It's a pickup point. It's right. It's the buses need to go through there. So you could sit in there and have
But why not? Why not turn it into a bus station?
Well, if you could, I just think you're limited. According to Travel Watch, who I had a long chat with, they didn't think that was the best idea. And I do,
right.
Again, you know, people who have done more work on it, I would bow to their knowledge on that.
For sure.
like you, I would think straight away, that would make a great decision.
Yeah. They say, no, go to the car park at the front and just have bus lanes there. Yeah.
But just the fact that you can, and, you know, maybe get the restaurant back in there and make it, get rid of some of those offices for the civil servants. I mean, do you remember the Crow's Nest restaurant?
Before my time, the Crow's Nest.
Didn't revolve, though.
I've been up there.
Yeah.
Because
nice views.
Office. Great office, yeah, great view. But it does seem an awful waste, doesn't it? You've already mentioned things like the cinema, the Villa Marina, that, you know, you think ought to be in private control. What about privatisation? Where do you stand on things like the airport, for example?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely one that should be looked at. You always hear these stories, and of course, never get them confirmed, don't you, about all the pay structures and the deals and that sort of thing that maybe are in there, the Spanish practices sort of thing. Yes, I think that would definitely be one. But how can I make that decision without seeing those numbers? I don't think I can, but I would imagine other people would go along with that one.
Isn't there a concern, though, that we can only sell off assets like that once?
Yes. But
And I wonder whether or not, I mean, I got into a muddle when I was trying to explain it to somebody yesterday or the day before, that the fact is that a lot of people wish that the steam packet was nationalised and it was something that was owned by the government on behalf of the people.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the Channel Islands own an airline, and that's kind of like one of those crosses the line, doesn't it? If you've got things in government control, it's not then a playing field that's, you know, for everyone, a flat playing field. You've got to be very careful.
But shouldn't we control those really important things like our off-island links?
Well, the government, of course, did have a massive shareholding in steam packets some time ago. I mean, that one, I mean, that's just a huge, huge ongoing story about that debt. I mean, the more you hear about it, the more you just wonder how it ever came to be in the first place.
Yeah.
It is interesting, though, isn't it? After a bit of competition, that the freight prices did come down, but somehow along the lines, I don't know if that's ever been passed on to the public. Have you seen a price reduction anywhere?
No.
You know, in the freights of all the stuff that's brought in?
Yeah. What about things like other industries, like gas and electricity? Do you think that we get a good deal, telecoms?
Well, the telecoms, two companies. As I said, I'm worried about the roaming thing. I don't know what's going on there and why we're paying so much. They may honestly say that's the going rate.
Yes.
But worldwide, pay £6.50 for 1 megabyte. Does seem quite a lot. Gas, well, that's an ongoing thing with the MEA, and they're using the pipes. As for the MEA and capping for the 2 years, as I said earlier, I think that is quite an interesting idea. Yeah. This is the sort of thing, you see, that has just been done now on recess almost, hasn't it? These things are coming out all the time.
Yes.
Same with, you know, the school getting the
Kurt
playing
Michael.
Field. Yeah, isn't it interesting how all these... But that just shows, if you follow Twitter a lot, you can see some of the government people do use it.
Yeah.
And there's things like, went to another budgetary meeting the other day to discuss what we're going to put forward. And I'm thinking, well, that's funny, because, you know, isn't that going to be something you do when you've got the new house in play? But
yeah,
I think...
So you think that an awful lot of politics maybe over the last 12 months have been playing up to the election?
I think that's just natural, though, isn't it? I mean, you're going to have certain decisions that won't be made because of fear of getting back in.
Yes.
I think there's the top ministers we have here, though, the ones that you know and I know that talk to us, have done the job pretty well. I mean, as long as they're transparent and will talk to us. I mean,
people call me a mouthpiece for the government because, you know, I genuinely believe that pretty much everybody who's in the House of Keys at the moment is doing the best that they possibly can and that they've got the best interests of the Isle of Man at heart.
Well, why wouldn't they? Exactly. What do people think people go in there for?
There is this conspiracy theory that they're all there to try and shaft the populace, and, you know, I don't think that's the truth at all. But
you've got an inquiring mind, and that's what I've got. You know, I've got that germicid thing that makes you go, but I'm not quite sure, you know, can I believe...
And the fact of the matter is that if you can't think like that, then, you know, the whole process of democracy in the Isle of Man is up for question, isn't it?
As long as they can hold up their hands and say, this is why we did it, for this reason. I mean, this thing of a star chamber, I'm not convinced about. You know, the Freedom of Information Act, which everyone's going on about, and when any questions in Douglas East, everyone was saying that's the first bit of legislation we'd like to see passed. And I'm thinking to myself, well, no one's mentioned that to me on the doorstep.
Yeah.
No one's talking about those sort of things. But £2 million set up, if that's... I checked with Jersey. I mean, that's what they were saying.
Yeah.
This means every single sort of meeting has to be written up.
Minuted.
Now, doesn't that involve lots of people? Hence, £2 million.
You kind of wonder, don't you, about the value of some of that, certainly.
I've done it in the past. When I've wanted something from government, I've gone to them, the PR people, because they do have a lot of press people
sure.
in things, and you ask them a question. And I'll tell you, one of them about smoking in the prison, didn't come back. And then I gave him a second chance, nothing came back. Then I suddenly said, I'm going to ask an MHK to yeah. ask this. Yeah. And I got a response.
Yes.
Because that is the way still.
Yeah.
If you can't get out of them, you can always ask somebody to ask that question.
I mean, some people have suggested that the MHKs aren't contactable enough by the electorate.
They're in the phone book.
I don't see, yeah, that's
where
my view
else,
on it as well.
Anywhere else you get that sort of... ability to talk to somebody, it's amazing.
We're running out of time, but do you see the next 5 years as being a particular challenge to the Isle of Man? Do you think it's going to be sackcloth and ashes time, or do you think it's a great opportunity for us to get leaner and better at what we do?
I think you're right. I think there's fat on the whole thing. I mean, everywhere, we've had a very good, cushy time, as but we didn't know. We will be fine. The Isle of Man is going to be fine. It's just a question of keeping new jobs coming here, making us economically active, and your last person in here was saying against the high earners. I think the 11Ks, as the Jersey lot would call them, are part of the package. You want anyone who will want to move to the Isle of Man. Why not? Why would you turn people down?
And we're out of time, but in one sentence, why should the people of Douglas East vote for you on September the 29th?
Because if I don't, I don't know what I'll do. No. How honest is that? I want that job, please. Thank you so much. Lord Sugar, you're hired.
Thank you very much indeed. Paul Moulton, standing for Douglas East.